I don't know. How many of you ever remember that movie called The Time Machine? 1960. Time Machine? You didn't see it? Let me tell you, that was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. And the scene that really set the tone for the whole movie was that this man was not believed, and he had his friends invited to a special meeting, just his friends. And he had this box, and inside of his box was a replica of his time machine. And so he said, "Now this is I'm only going to be able to do this once. So look carefully, because if I push this latch, it'll go forward into the future and we won't see it anymore. It'll still be here, but not in this time." So anyway, he put it on and the thing started shaking around the room and it tarred colors and everything, and then it was gone. And they said, "What a good trick that was." "What? No. I wanted you to see. I was unveiling my invention." You know, and he had built another one, but they didn't believe him. They thought it was a hoax. And when Jesus came and God was manifesting the glory of Christ, many people did not believe. But his disciples saw his glory and they believed. They believed. And when I started this morning, I read that scripture, or I read that phrase, personal epiphanies of Christ can turn us into his bold witnesses. When the disciples saw his glory, they believed and became his witnesses. That unveiling was the deal. It was the unveiling of Christ, the revelation of Christ, the manifestation of Christ, the revealing of him. And that's what the word epiphany means. We're going to see later where it came from. But our text tells about their stories of seeing the Lord and his glory, and then of believing and following him. They saw the transfiguration. We haven't seen that, but they saw the transfiguration. But even though we haven't seen it, it can be true of us. They were witnesses of his credentials. That was the first part of this passage that we read, and it's right there if you want to look at it again. But verse 16 says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now this idea of the transfiguration is one passage where there is an unveiling of Christ. But there are a lot of other passages where that unveiling took place. And one of them was at his baptism. Because at his baptism, he was revealed to the world and he started his ministry. It was like, it says in verse in Matthew 3:16-17, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" That's the same kind of thing he said at the Transfiguration. This was another manifestation. And what was he manifesting? We'll see later. But when John saw this, when John saw this manifestation, that was his cue to start pointing people. "Don't look at me anymore." He was pointing people to Christ. He was saying, don't just watch me. That's the one you need to follow. That was John. That's how he responded to that epiphany. Next, there was the first miracle that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And this is what John says about that, John the Apostle. "This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. And thus he revealed his glory. Thus he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." That word "revealed" is actually the word "epiphany." It's where we get the word "epiphany" from in the Greek. It just comes from the word "epiphany." And so that was the first epiphany as far as miracles are concerned, and his disciples saw it and they believed. And then at his crucifixion, he was revealing the heart of God for people. And he did it when he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now, when he said that, he was summing up the whole thing. We needed forgiveness. We had sinned, and we needed forgiveness. But we didn't know what we were doing. We were being crazy sinning like that. You know, all the way down through history, we've been sort of a crazy group of people. And we didn't know really what we were doing. If we just could see what we're doing sometimes. Well, God knows. God knows what we're doing. And he sees it, but he forgives us. And we were looking, when we see that, we see the revelation of God's loving attitude towards us. Well, all of these things, all of these unveilings, what they do, these epiphanies of Christ, they cause us to want to follow him, to be his witnesses. By his resurrection, we're drawn to a God who is a servant. Do you know that God is, I've talked about this before, he's the best servant. He's the first servant. He called us to follow him and to be servants like him. And you know, on his baptism, he was being manifested. It says he began his ministry. He began his service at his baptism. That's when it first started. He started serving in that way. There was other times he did the same thing. There was when he was washing his disciples' feet. What did he do? He took his clothes off. He put a towel around him. What was he doing that? Slaves in those days, they had to work naked sometimes. They only had one outfit. They took the outfit off and they worked naked. They were sold in the slave market naked. And Jesus did that for us so that he could show himself a servant. He laid aside his garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet with the towel that was wrapped around him. That wasn't the first time that he had stripped himself. How about when he left heaven? He stripped himself of his glory and took upon himself human flesh in the form of a servant. It says that in Philippians chapter 2. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of man. And what about his first miracle? That shows that our God is concerned about the little things. Did you know that that wine was not a big deal? I mean, for that wedding feast, oh, that was a big deal for them. But it's a pretty mundane thing. I mean, his first miracle wasn't to heal a multitude of people of their sicknesses and things like that, of dealing with sin and dealing with casting out demons and things like that. What was his first miracle? It was just turning water to wine. That's pretty mundane. It's trivial when you compare it to us. But if we see him doing that, and he's concerned about our needs, our physical needs, our different kinds of needs, and we ask him, "Oh God, could you show me where I've lost my glasses? I've lost my keys. The rock or teeth?" No, you know. And does God help us? Yeah, he always helps us find them. Oh, that's a wonderful thing that God is that kind of a God. But if we can trust him on those little things, to transform water to wine, how about can we trust him to transform us? To transform us from sinners to saints? Yes, we can trust him. We can trust him. So we're drawn to a God like that. And then we're also drawn to his crucifixion, the kind of God that is a God of love. It says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then John says in his epistle, first epistle of John, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We are drawn to a God of love. And you know, when people hear the gospel, they say, oh, that idea of God becoming one of us and dying for us, that's too good to be true. But if you knew the kind of love that God has, you would say, too good not to be true. Too good not to be true, because that's the kind of God we have. We have a God that is a God of total love. And these disciples, they were eyewitnesses. You know, one of the things that John says in his epistle, the first verse, the very first start of his epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. What is he talking about, the word of life? Is he talking about the Bible? No. He's talking about when he started his gospel. He says, the word was God. The word was with God. The word, and by the word all things were created. And then, what does he say? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as we look at Christ's touch on the disciples, you know, he touched the disciples. They were able to hold on to him, lean against him. Wouldn't it have been great if we could have been there and been able to see Jesus like they did? But you know, we've felt his touch, haven't we? We sang that song, and it's such a blessing. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. You know, the reason you're in church is because you have it in your heart. Something has changed inside of you. There are a lot of people, they don't go to church. It hasn't changed. Something hasn't changed yet inside of them. And they need Jesus to bring that change. They need a revelation, an epiphany of the Lord Jesus. I look at next verses. They were witnesses of his glory. And it says this in verse 17 and 18. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Now, what Peter was talking about there was called the Transfiguration. We're not going to read the whole passage, but it's three times recorded in the Bible about the three apostles that were invited up, and Jesus, his whole body and everything, his clothing and everything was just bright, brightly shining. And then there were Moses and Elisha, and they came and talked with him while he was like that. And then his disciples, when Moses and Elisha, they disappeared, then what did God say? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Listen to him. And that's what we have to do. Peter was describing this transfiguration to us so that we would remember what they saw. But what did they see? What did they see? It doesn't explain it, but I have an idea. I always have some ideas about what the scriptures are talking about. Jesus was seen another time like that by John the Revelator, where he was brightly shining. I believe that what John, or what these three apostles saw, and what John saw, was the glorified, resurrected Christ, a preview. It was like a preview. It was almost like the veil was taken away. This is what it's going to be like. And guess what? We're going to also have resurrection bodies like his. Whoa! You start reading the Transfiguration passage like that, then you start thinking, I'm going to be like that? My body is going to be like that? Well, if we could see him and we could say, wow, he says, I'm going to resurrect you. Oh, I'm waiting for it. Aren't you waiting for that new body? I keep waiting for it because I have a lot of things going on, and so do you, in our physical bodies that we'd like to see changed. Okay, well, this unveiling that's part of these three Gospels, it's not in the book of John. You say, well, why didn't he? He was up on the mountain. Why didn't he say it? Oh, you've got to see John's way of writing the Bible, the way he wrote his Gospel. He didn't wait down to the story. He wanted to put it up front. So when he said the Word became flesh, incarnate, and dwelt among us, he said, when that happened, we beheld his glory. So he's talking about, we got to see it. We got to see what happened when God became man and we beheld his glory. He puts it right up front. The one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. If Christ's transfiguration solidified their faith and their witness of these apostles, what can it do for us? What can it do for us? Well, the answer to that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Listen to this. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What is this talking about? It's talking about that day when Moses went into the tabernacle and then he had to uncover his face when he was with the Lord. Then he had to cover his face up when he went out because he was shining so brightly that they could, wait a minute, this is too bright. And he had to put a cover over his face. But when he went into the Lord, he took the cover off. And let me tell you something. That's what we have to do. We have to uncover ourselves before the Lord. We have to be face to face with him so that he dwells in our hearts. And when we spend time with him, then our faces are going to shine. Our faces are going to shine Jesus. Have you ever met somebody that said, oh boy, they just shine? Well, they a lot of times have been with Jesus, and that's why they're shining. And if we want to be, for us to be internally changed, we do have to expose the hidden areas of our heart to the Lord, to his glory, so that we can shine forth his glory in our lives. You know, Adam and Eve, when they covered themselves up with fig leaves, they were hiding their skin, but they thought they might could hide their sin, and they didn't do it. So God removed those man-made garments of fig leaves, and he wrapped them up in leather at great cost. It was the sacrifice of animals to make leather, to make skins for them to wear. And Jesus did the same thing for us. We were in our shame, in our sin, not our bodies being naked. That's not really that shameful. I mean, you know, it's really not. But I have to say that our sin is shameful. Our sin is shameful. And we need it forgiven, and we need to be wrapped up in the righteousness of Jesus. That's what Paul said. He said, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wrap yourselves up in Jesus, and then you're going to shine. When our inner self is wrapped up in Christ, his glory shines from us. And we become, in a sense, we become epiphanies. We become unveilings of Christ to other people so that they can see his witness in our lives. Finally, the disciples were witnesses of prophecy fulfilled. It says this in verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Peter watched Jesus turn the Old Testament hopes into New Testament realities, New Testament certainties. It wasn't just a hope, it had been fulfilled in Christ. He saw the true glory of the Christ and His manifestation at the transfiguration. And when he saw that, then he began to see what this whole thing means. That these Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Lord, that it was about, it inspired him about the coming of the Lord again, because we're expecting him not just coming one time, first advent, we're expecting the second advent of Christ coming. And that epiphany on the sacred mountain that he had was just a foretaste. It was just a foretaste of the second coming, of what's yet to come. And in this last verse, Peter gives this exhortation. Pay attention to the fulfilled word. It's absolutely trustworthy. These prophets, those promises are all fulfilled now. We can hold on to that word. God's word is trustworthy. And he has, and that word, this word again and again in your lives, has probably unveiled God's will for you when you had a question of what you should do. God was telling you through His Word. And then look at what it says here. And Jesus says in Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David, and I'm the bright and morning star. That's what Peter's talking about. When the morning star rises in your hearts, when Jesus rises in your hearts to your face, you'll begin to shine. You'll begin to shine in your testimony. You'll begin to shine in your witness. Peter exhorts us, stay faithful until the day of the Lord Jesus dawns and Jesus, the morning star, rises in your hearts. That'll be his last epiphany when he really returns. When he comes back, that'll be his last epiphany, his final unveiling. Now, we weren't there on the Mount of Transfiguration, but we were here. We were here when he spoke to us, when he called us into his kingdom, when he helped us when we were in need and we prayed, and he spoke to us and he gave us guidance, and we said, it worked out. I cannot believe it. Yes, you can believe it, because he told you. And he gave, that's happened again and again and again in our lives. That's our testimony. That's our witness. Because we can say with certainty, we know he's coming back. But we can say with certainty, we know he's come into our hearts. Into our hearts. And these epiphanies, these revealings, these revelations of Christ, that he's manifesting himself in different ways to us, these turn, when the disciples saw these, they turned into his followers and they turned into his witnesses. Well, that's what God wants to do in our lives. The personal epiphanies of Christ can turn us into his bold witnesses. How has Jesus unveiled himself to you? You know, what we need to do a lot of times is write it down. Think about it. When did God show himself to me? And write that down. And it's good for some people to keep a journal. Sometimes I write poetry when God reveals himself to me. But what epiphany has he given to us? What are the epiphanies in our lives? The revelations, the unveilings? Well, we need to keep our eyes spiritually open. You know, he has given the eyes of our heart spiritual sight. They may have been blind before we were saved, but now we can have his personal epiphanies in our lives. And when we get them, it's not just for us. It's for everybody we know. Tell them that they need Jesus, because he's the one and only, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this afterthought by Peter, because this was many years after he saw the transfiguration. And yet, Lord, he wanted to remind people that this manifestation of the Son of God is going to happen again and again and again in our lives. And then finally, a final coming, a final revelation of Christ when he comes again. Thank you, Lord, for this passage, but Lord, make it real in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.